Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
On YouTube. On podcast. On live. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC SL. This is the Rebel Yell podcast, supported by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical.
Season 23-24 is upon us, guys. This is Rebel Yell, the podcast. Well, no, the Rebel Yell podcast, I should say. Get it right. Episode 1 of the 23-24 season. You know my voice?
Yeah, mine, Spence.
And we've got a new guest, or a new, not guest, a new podcast co-creator. What's this guy's name?
Hi, my name is Yakko.
Yeah, so you probably recognise Yakko from Around the Ground.
Most likely.
So tell us what you do then, Around the Ground. Go on, match day, and what you're doing more of this season, because you're going to hopefully have a shiny new shop, aren't you?
Hopefully, if everything goes to plan, yeah. I help a man at a glove shop most match days when I'm here. So you see me selling all the merchandise.
Yeah. And he was desperate, wasn't he, Spencer, to get on Rebel Yell? I mean, the amount of messages that he was sending me off like air saying it was always borderline harassment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, we could have had the police on board for stalking.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. It was really weird.
I don't think Amanda knew about all the free merch he was offering us as well.
Oh, yeah, it's when he saw that quality merchandise of Rebel Yell t-shirts, he was like, I've got to have a piece in that action. But Jacko used to be on the supporters committee, didn't he? But for work reasons, you had to step away last season, was it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I work at a private school and it's just got really hectic with work.
Busy, busy, busy.
Really busy, yeah.
Yeah, so, Jacko, it's good to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
And, you know, here's to a long and fruitful season. But it is the beginning of the season, guys. Pre-season. Well, where do we start? It's not been great, has it?
No, it hasn't been great. But I'd rather lose the games now than in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still early days. I think we made some decent signings. Seen some, at times, decent play from the team. So, you know, we'll see when the first game is, what will happen.
Yeah, those that, you know, talk to me about pre-season, know my opinions of it, and those that see me at the games. I think the main thing is just the players getting to know each other, those new ones coming in, getting fitness up, and getting up and running ready for day one on Saturday.
Well, if you've been living under a rock, the pre-season that scores as it goes. We started off really well and we beat an under-23 Brighton Hove Albion side, didn't we? 4-0 behind closed doors friendly, which I just wish Brighton would open up one year, wouldn't you? It'd be really nice.
That would be great to go there, but I think it's very difficult because they're training ground, isn't it? So it's just public access, I think. But yeah, it would be nice to see. Or maybe one year they could come here.
That'd be nice, yeah, because that would be a really nice finale to our pre-season, yeah. I'd say.
Let the riff-raff watch.
Yeah, you don't want a Brighton lot before they go and see some, you know, you need to come and watch some proper football at Woodside Road. Bognor, it was billed as sort of it is a local rivalry, but a friendly doesn't really mean as much, does it, guys, as it was before compared to like the cup final last season or like a league game?
Yeah, so, you know, pre-season, it was quite flat, really. You know, it's pre-season. Bognor didn't bring nowhere near as many fans as thought they would. Not much of an atmosphere. Highlight was Stu running the line.
yeah, I heard about that. So we can get Stu on, we'll talk to him about it. But, you know, I wasn't there. Tell the guys what happened if you weren't.
I think the referee got injured and one of the linesmen took over for the second half. And then suddenly we saw Stu with the flag. And that was it. Yeah. Running the line.
We say running the line. I don't think there was much running. And I don't think there was much lining going on either. I think he was doing his absolute best not to get involved in the game.
Well, we gave Bogner the bracket. He was just there. We gave Bogner the bragging rights that day. They can live through their season beating us 2-0. But
is it bragging rights?
It's a pre-season friendly, isn't it?
I work with a few Bogner fans, yeah. And they weren't that bothered either.
But then, put it this way, a couple of seasons ago when we played Tunbridge and Welling pre-season here, obviously when we were in the Isthmian Premier, the season we won, and we beat a team in the National South above for getting the rivalry, we were pretty buzzing about that, weren't we? So you got to give them a bit of bragging rights or not?
Yeah, no. they can have it for a bit. But, you know, when it comes to the real prizes, you know, I think we're still there.
So, the social media sensations as they are, or sensations, or inform sensations, hashtag United then visited. You know, they've, as you talk off the air and stuff like that, they've had a lot of investment through their social channels, a lot of young followers, a lot of media sponsorships bring money into the club. Now, people might think it's wrong, but it's not. They've been lining the pockets. They're getting money from sponsorships. They're getting money from YouTube stuff. So, you know, is it a new way of funding football? And they've come here and they've beaten us. And they're quite a physical team.
They came here and, well, way overly physical. I don't know what they were thinking as far as preparations. It was much really the most physical I've seen a team turn up for a pre-season friendly.
It was, but what didn't help, I think, they played 6 or 7 pre-season friendly before they came here. So they played for a while this season. So expect them to be a bit fitter. But yeah, hashtag, I know it because my son was on YouTube.
Saying, yeah.
He got a shirt signed, he is happy. But what they do, is, I think it's amazing. And I think it is the way forward. How they get the money. And, you know, everybody said they're making a lot of money, but they lost a lot of money as well due to sponsorship going wrong. But, yeah, it's...
I think they'll make big waves next year.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, because obviously they share with, is it Bowers and Pitsy?
Bowers, yep.
And obviously Bowers got relegated, didn't they? So, like, you know, they're the higher team in that stadium. Will they try and purchase that stadium before? Because I know their plan is to try and make a... They put an advert out about 3 years ago saying Premier League within, like, 20 years or something. It's like, okay, calm down. But, you know, it's one of those. Did you find that there's a lot more younger crowd here watching the game than usually would be because of the social sensation? Did it feel like they were watching a bunch of celebrities like you haven't seen before? Like, obviously your son, you know, he must have been buzzing to get his shirt signed.
He was, and I think it was a bit the same like what was it, the Man United game,
you know, the Legends game,
the Legends,
yeah,
but
yeah,
lots
yeah,
of people
yeah, yeah,
here
yeah.
Just, and I know some, there were some ladies here just for the guy who from Love Island apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was one of their places from Love Island.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've been told none of them now.
You know, was he allowed to go on it like one of those? It's always a non-league player. I don't watch Love Island. I mean, I know Spencer's the number one fan. He sits there with his pamper kit out on a Friday night watching it, don't you? But
curlers in.
I know there was a thing a few... Ollie waving at you. There was a few things. Every season, there seems to be a non-league player from some club. So the club let them go. And maybe it's like another hashtag United kind of jobby.
Yeah, but
gets
I think...
people involved.
Coming back to hashtag, what they have done in the last couple of years, I think you have to take your hat off to them. You know, how they risen through the ranks and what they've done and what they achieved.
Well, they're appealing to the new football generation and new fans,
It's getting the youth, as you could call them, into non-league football. So that's only a good thing.
Then that result was 2-1, a loss. Kind of got one back in the second half, but never really looked like scoring again, did we?
No, but I think if I'm really honest, their 2 goals were cracking goals, I thought.
Yeah.
They were decent goals, so, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, pre-season's always the same, aren't they? You always follow the same sort of formula. Kind of first half, you get a game. Second half, there's so many... Changes on both sides and things being tried out.
The whole team changed in the second half, didn't it?
Yeah.
11 changes. So,
yeah, it's fair enough. And then we went on to my first pre-season friendly, which is Gosport. And I said to Spencer, it can't have been that bad. We must have been all right. and we lost 4-1. They were saving it for me, really, weren't they?
Yeah, that I think Gosport wanted it more on the night, if I'm really honest. And I thought they were the better team. So we got no complaints to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, you know, for a team a level down, they play some really smart, good, quick, short passing football. So, you know, good on them.
Yeah, fair play. But then we saved the best till last, because I thought, going by pre-season, that the game against Horsham, who are a very good side, and Danny Barker's obviously gone to them. That was quite a shock. We'll talk about him later in the podcast. But Danny Barker going, you know, being in that squad, and we won 3-0. Apparently, it's quite a convincing performance.
I can only go by what you tell me because I wasn't there.
Yeah, you're a South
Africa. Same here. This is going to be a good conversation.
It's interesting. And I was as well, to be fair. I wasn't either. No, but, you know.
The only reason I didn't go, I had commitments. I promised my son to go to Southampton, watch them. So it wasn't the same day, but I think maybe it's the omen I should stay away.
Well, from seeing on the results, it was actually played really well, to be honest. And I think that team they put out was probably, in theory, one of the starting teams you'd see maybe next weekend.
I saw a bit on the Horsham website. They were very complimentary at the way Worthing were playing. Mm. So I can only assume it was a good game.
And that's what you want. So, you know, saying about, you know, starting off with a Bognor game, et cetera, and the performances and the results, you want to see an upwards trajectory going into the season, don't you? And that's what we've had. So fair play.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting. We beat a second sort of string team. The youth team beat Littlehampton away this week. And we have got, before recording this, we have got the sort of Sussex Charity Shield almost, isn't it, versus Broadbridge Heath Bears, which will be an interesting one. I wouldn't expect a full fully strength squad in that game, but I think we'll take it seriously. It'll be nice to get a bit of silverware.
I think it will be a mix of players, bearing in mind the Saturday is our first league game. Not knowing what Adam wants, I think the league is still important.
You don't want to risk too much. So if, you know, being here at training tonight on Tuesday night, there's a lot of the Andre Eanes are around, so you'd expect to see more than one or two involved, I'd imagine.
Well, Jacko, you just say, let's see what Adam wants. Shall we hear what he wants?
Let's speak to Adam now.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Adam, it's good to see you again. It feels like, as we were just saying, feels like only yesterday we were doing that end of season podcast in the boardroom. But how's your summer been? Did you get away?
Yeah, got away. Where did you go with the family? Went to Marrakesh for a week.
Oh, very nice.
So yeah, it was really nice. Went and watched Jack play out in Portugal, me and my wife, and then went out there for a week, and he came and met us with his girlfriend. So it was all together. I think the first time I've been away all together for about 4 or 5 years. So
that's really nice. Did you actually switch off though?
I do. I just put my phone in the room and leave it there. And you know, when we go for lunch, go and have like half hour, just check a few messages, and then try and switch off and be there for the family. Because you know, as soon as you get back home with the season, you can be sat at home with the wife and kids and they could be talking to you and you can be agreeing with them, but your mind's on getting 3 points on the Saturday. Yeah. So
before you know it, the kids are grown up, moved out.
I know. That's exactly what it's like. So yeah, I do try in the summer to just really be present and be there for them and spend some time with them.
And I guess Jack now, his summer, he signed his first professional contract, was it?
Yeah, on his 18th birthday. Amazing. That was in April. So nice.
It's his first season coming in as a full-time pro. How's he taken to it? Like, is it all a big sort of culture shock for him, or has he just been easing quite nice and slow?
No, I think it's like something you work towards as a kid, and he seems to be, since like you know, it seems coming through the youth setup, it's a bit like football for all, and since it's gone to right, you've actually got to earn your place and stuff. He seems to really just grasp it and gone, right, okay, this is proper football, I've got to work hard, I've got to show what I'm about, and it seems to have really helped him.
Oh, brilliant, it's great to see. Back to the Worthy stuff, we've had a pre-season, we've got one more game tomorrow after we record the sort of Broadbridge Heath game, but sort of the main bulk of pre-season's over. What are your overall thoughts of the pre-season?
I think been relatively pleased, really. We was excellent in the first game against Brighton, and then I think you'd obviously like to maintain that. We've been poor for 3 home games. For whatever reason, change of personnel, trialist, whatever. But, you know, we've been poor. You can't hide it. And then to get the team back together and have a good performance against Horsham was pleasing. I think if we'd had another poor performance, another poor result going into the season, it'd been a bit more of a worry for us. But, it's not going to lie. I've seen what you've seen and it's been disappointing to watch.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing the positive from those games is you can see what needs working on, what areas, what players.
Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes, you know, you go through pre-season, then you win every game and it can sometimes mask certain things, can't it? And I've quite like that we've had some good performances in there, even with the young players that we had last night at Lewampton. They was excellent. There's been some really good performances, but then there's definitely stuff for us to work on. So I think, like, if anything, like those three games, I've sat down and done more analysis of those games than maybe you would if you win. You know, the good performance against Horsham and Brighton I barely looked at, but we lose and you study it a bit more and see where you can improve. So in some ways, in that aspect, you know, I think it's been good. Our mistakes have got punished. We conceded from set pieces. We conceded from counter-attacks. So it's all stuff that you're hoping to get out of your system in pre-season and, you know, show the players. And there's been definitely a good response in training. The only thing has been a few changes personnel-wise. And I think sometimes when you have a bit of a bad run, and especially when it's in pre-season so early, sometimes they can doubt your methods and what you're doing. And they certainly haven't done that. They've been really together and, like, trained brilliantly the last couple of weeks.
It's going to take time, isn't it, for the new players to bed it?
No, yeah, definitely. It's going to be an element of that. But, you know, I think we've got some really good people coming to the building again. Not just good players, but good people. And, you know, that'll help them settle in quite quickly. And, yeah, I'm excited by what we've got in the building and the group that we've got and how well they are gelling. And I'd say one or two of our longer term injuries to come back, and they're very close, and, you know, it makes for an exciting squad in my opinion.
I guess talk about these new, this is probably the first time in the last sort of 3-4 years that there's been a big sort of change within the squad. Like, you know, we speak about it later in the podcast, but, you know, there's sort of 7-8 new players already, and whether there'll be more or not, but, you know, that must be for you as a manager, like, to get them with that team ethic and, you know, the togetherness that you've built over the past 4 or 5 years, it must be quite a task to get them thinking that Worthing mindset.
No, it is, yeah. But like I say, the good thing is that they're good people, and, you know, not just good players, but they're good people, and they want to listen, want to improve, and want to work hard. And ultimately, that's what we, you know, rely on. Works for us. That's the sort of culture we've created, I think. And I think because we've got such a good nucleus of players working to that sort of culture, it's very easy for good people to come in and settle in quickly. And I think they've done that.
Is that something you go looking for in a player as well? They could be the best player in the world, but if they don't fit in with the group, would you say thanks but no thanks?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that takes time. Like, there's been lads here that we've seen played a few games, and I think maybe for 2 weeks, 10 days, you can just fit in with a group. But I think over a period of time, 3-4 weeks, then your sort of character comes out a little bit more. So it's definitely something that we look at. You know, they've got to be the right character, I think, to just fit into our group. And like I say, I think we've got that. I think they're good lads. Enjoy working with them, enjoy seeing them train, and like I say, really excited about what we can produce this season.
Can I just, obviously I'm not going to give anything away as such, as we know, but do you think we'll see maybe a couple more additions to the squad in the next few weeks, or are you kind of sort of happy with where we're at?
Yeah, I think if the right sort of players become available, then we'd be stupid to not look at it. But yeah, we've obviously got probably 18 fit players, including our youngsters, so there's a lot of under-19s in that group as well. And we've got 4 sort of little niggly injuries at the moment with Kane, Jake, Jesse and Tutty. But, you know, half of those are back training this week and half next week, so they're not far away. It'll just be the game time now, obviously, with the season starting. Might need a couple of sort of friendlies just to keep the squads you know, get some sharpness back into 1 or 2.
So can we just get your thoughts behind the bringing back of a couple of players that played previously been at the club? Obviously, Rocco Rees, he was a free agent after being released by Brentford. Like, was that just an obvious choice to do because he's been there before, he knows the mentality? Or have you seen him personally improve when you've seen him in the sessions and you thought, well, let's give him as our first choice keeper? He did such a good job with, obviously, Harrison.
Yeah. Now come. No, obviously, yeah, Harrison moved on, so you're looking for a new keepers come in, and like Rocco just seemed to fit the build of what we was looking for. You know, we've got our exceptional goalkeeper coach in John Keeley that works with us, and you know, if we might not signed Rocco as being the finished article straight away, but You know, I think with Kilo's goalkeeper coaching, and we can see another player similar to how much Harrison's improved in the last 2 years. And I think if we take our time with Rocco, we're going to have a real asset on our hands there. And, you know, I think his career can kick on again, and that's what he's looking to do. And again, to have those players with that kind of mindset, like myself, like the rest of the club, really, we're all ambitious. We all got aspirations to go and be as high level as we can, and definitely Rocco is one of them.
And there's a good example there already, isn't there? Because, you know, the progression that the last couple of keepers that we've had have already gone on. You know, Harrison's moved up and gone up to Dorking, and definitely, sort of, you know, Rushworth, as much as he was an outkeeper, is Brighton, but, you know, he's been out on a couple of good loans, and he's just gone to Swansea, and you know, to championships, you know. It's good examples and to follow there.
And I think, like, with that, the conversations with players, with us having a season as well as we did, and, you know, speak to a lot of people, and they say, oh, I loved how you played and loved the fan base, and, like, the conversations you're having with Michael Clark, Joe Felix this summer is the best and easiest it's been. You know, not having to sell myself, sell the club, sell anything. They know now, and, you know, as soon as Worthing becomes available, you speak to these lads. It's one of their first choices, and their eyebrows really raise, and they're really interested. And I think that's been a big change this summer.
So that means you see Danny Cashman coming back then, finally.
Who knows? That's
I never stopped that. That's what you said to us. You wanted to get him loan to Worthing Way. He wasn't ever going to sign for us at that time of his career. But, you know, if it came available and the opportunity was there, I guess it's easier sell for you then in the future.
No, that's right. Yeah, I think it... good players in and see what we do. And like I say, I think he would have enjoyed his little cameo in pre-season. We certainly enjoyed watching him play on our team. So, you know, who knows what can happen if things happen and, you know, he becomes available, then, you know, he'll remember his time and stuff like that. So I think, you know, that's the reasoning behind these things, reasoning behind these loan moves. And your Josh's, your Liam's that come last year.
We're talking about the loan. How did the Ricky Aguirre loan come back? Obviously, he's returning to the club where, you know, he made such a sort of name for himself. But how did that come about? Was it a surprise to you? Were you approached, or did you approach Swindon?
Basically, Nathan's quite close with the agency that he works for, so heard that, you know, wasn't in favour at Swindon, and they was looking to potentially get him out for the season. And as soon as the financial structure was doable for us, then it just seemed a bit of a no-brainer. Kane was out at the moment. We was in playing, looking at Joe Felix in centre midfield with Michael Clarke. We've got a day now that's come in and signed, who offers us something a bit different. And again, talking about good people and good characters, what a lad this guy is. The fans will absolutely love him, I'm sure. But he offers us something a bit different. But I just thought, you know, if we got a player of Ricky's quality become available, and it's doable for us, it's a no-brainer. And, you know, I've been really pleased with what I've seen. Also, with the Ricky Barnes, I think it's a bit of an opportunity for myself and us as a club to sort of work with a player on a full-time basis. Obviously, he's full-time.
How does that work?
So, yeah, we're going to put a sort of full-time program together for him. So, took Ricky just for a one-on-one session yesterday on Monday, but we're hoping we'll be able to link that in with our youth structure, our younger players, Ruben, Chopper, Rocco, Brad, Jake Robinson, if he's about, so Luke A. If them guys are about, we'll be able to get a nice little group that can train on a Monday and Friday with Rick as well. So, again, it's an opportunity for us to take
forward. Are you doing that with Ice in the future? I think more training daytime, a bit more full quarter time?
It's a sort of start of where we want to go as a club. And obviously, we're not in a position to commit to it with everybody and do it straight away, but if there's an opportunity for five or six of our players to start on that full-time basis. What got me thinking of it, I listened to a podcast, I think it was like Jill Scott or someone, on like high performance, and she said when she first went to Man City or somewhere, when the women first started, there was only like five or six of them that were full-time to start off with, and the rest were still part-time. And, you know, got my sort of thinking cap on and thought, well, maybe that's doable with us just to start off with and give us a start. Like, probably half of the league this year are going to be full time.
Push its way down.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. So to even compete, we've got to start thinking that way, I think.
That's exciting to hear, guys. Exciting to think of the future. Now, obviously, we don't want to dwell on the past, but I think it wouldn't be fair if I didn't ask you a couple of things about players that have left. Danny Barker and Darren Budd, to name such a two important players that have been over the growth of this club in the past 2 years. Like, was it just sort of game time for them? I know Darren said to me, as I said off the air, that he sort of felt he had another season in which he's not going to possibly get here. But, you know, Danny, was it sort of a similar thing? And, you know, he's gone to Horsham, which is a great club. Up and, you know, I think they're going to do very well in the Premier, and the Eastman Premier this season.
Yeah, no, everybody, it was a case of, to be honest, I think the worst thing we've done was put him in, like, the staff WhatsApp group. And then he realised just what everybody done at the club and the roles they'd done. And although he didn't think he was doing a lot, he was basically running the dressing room and joining training. You know, he felt that he was not doing as much as everybody else, and that's just not in him, in his character to be that way. Yeah. But also, yeah, I think there's more than half of him that still thinks he's training every day and then not getting the exciting bit of the game on the end of it, which I totally understand. So yeah, we just have open, honest conversations. I said to him, look, if it doesn't work out, then, you know, we'll look at things. Obviously, we've got Gary in now and another member of staff, another great character to have in the building. And yeah, just transpired that way that he's now gone to Birchdale and get some game time.
Obviously,
and I'm sure
he had to tack him up, didn't
yeah, I'm sure it'd be a great yeah. asset still as a player for them at that level. And with Danny, yeah, it was just a honest conversation. Just said, like, got other players that I see ahead of you at this moment in time, but, you know, love you to stay around and fight for your opportunity in the team. And I think he just felt that the offer at Horsham to go and play week in, week out, where he's had a few injuries. Yeah. I think if he hadn't had the injuries, then maybe, you know, fighting for his place would have been a bit more of a realistic thing for him. But I think where he's had the injuries and the opportunity to go and play regular football at Horsham, and, you know, I don't fall out with people. I just try and be honest.
No, you've got to be honest. Yeah. As you've said to us many times before, you've got to make those decisions as a manager. That,
definitely.
You know, it might be sort of furniture here, but you feel that they're not in your squad and you're the overall manager, so you've got to make a decision.
But you've got to be fair to a player as
well. Yeah, no, I mean, like, does leave us a little bit short. I thought he could have been third choice centre-back. We've got, obviously, Joe Ryan and Aaron. But with Tutty out injured, Tutty can play centre-back for us. Joel Ham plays centre-back for us. But does leave us a little bit light in that area with him gone. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie to the lad and not be honest with him to tell him that, give him false hope of him starting just to keep him. You know, he's got to be honest, and then it's up to him to make his own decision.
Sort of unsettle the player as well, no matter what the price is. You know,
no, definitely. What he told me this, I think he had a conversation. I just felt with the captain's armband on against Bognor, I didn't really see a player that was hell bent on, right, I'm making sure I'm going to start the next game. It just felt like he'd already made his sort of decision. Yeah. And, you know, when it gets like that, I think it's best that he just goes and follows his heart and, you know, wish him all the best.
Yeah. And you never know, those two, you never know, you might see him in Worthing colours again in some form in the future. Just before we wrap up the interview, Adam, obviously Gary Elphick joined the club as part of the coaching team. How did that move come about? Because obviously he was Hastings. He did a very good job at Hastings with Meany last season, the season before getting promotion. I was expecting him to get another job as a manager in football. I mean, he's a great addition to the coaching squad here. So just for the fans, how did that move come about?
So basically just when I met Gaz, really, just to have a catch-up in the summer. Obviously, fell out at Hastings and, you know, whatever, they parted company. So I just wanted to have a catch-up, see where his head was at. And he was, you know, not sort of saying he's going to jump into another managerial role. And we got talking, and it just sort of seemed to make sense. Like, with Buddy gone, there was like a bit of an opening on the sort of coaching staff. And you know, basically wanted Gaz to come in and really focus on the defensive side of it and look at us defensively. Like, his defensive record at Hastings has been very good over the last few years. Ours was near on shambolic last year. 72 goals we conceded.
It's crazy, isn't it? Level
with the bottom of the league. You know, I'd do, and one of my downsides would be a focus on us and how we play in possession. And, you know, if there is an element that I do neglect, it would be us spending time looking at our defensive shape and defensive structure. So, you know, I think you analyse your own performance over the course of a season and see where you can improve. And it just made sense for Gaz to come in and help us out and give us some fresh eyes and fresh opinions on where we can improve defensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice, exciting time.
Without sort of putting too much pressure on guys, like, you know, if we can see goals, it's going to be on his head.
You're going to attempt to listen to this exactly.
I just thought, another, like, really, what a great guy. Like, really good character. I think we've got unbelievable characters, both on and off the pitch. Like, you talk to people and they're just real enthusiastic about the club and just good people to have around you. And I think, like, the more of them you got, the more good opinion you can get on the game, then the better it is for everybody.
Well, it's all good for the whole squad, you know, to have these people around and had the experience. And, you know, he'll be buzzing, I guess, to be coaching at this level as well, you know.
I think, like, I'm not speaking for him, I don't think, but I think he's quite enjoyed it and enjoyed, you know, the other side of the management and the coaching sort of side.
Yeah.
So,
well, Adam, thanks for your time again. Great little chat, and, you know, we look forward to seeing the season ahead. We'll speak to you throughout the season, but good luck for the first month. Hopefully we get some silverware this week and be the overall Sussex champions. That'd be a nice start to the season, wouldn't it?
No, it would be, yeah. It's obviously, you know, come up a bit of a bad time for us with the first game on Saturday and a few injuries. But, yeah, no, like I say, we want this club to be the norm to win silverware. Yeah. We'll be looking to try and do that tomorrow night.
Cheers, Adam. Last thank one. You.
Cheers, thank you. Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Thanks to Adam for joining us, as per usual, giving his insights and thoughts of the season ahead and his pre-season thoughts. Let's talk about some of the changes around the club. Again, if you've been living under a rock, you will see we've got a new shirt sponsor, we've got a new stadium sponsor, there's been players returning, players leaving. First of all, a new shirt sponsor?
Yellow Lines, most important.
All right, Yellow Lines around the stadium as well. But Jacko, obviously been involved in the shop with Amanda. Tell the guys about the shirt sponsor. Who's it by? Who's the sponsor? Who's the kit by?
The kit is by Macron. I like the kit. This year, it's only two kits. Red kit and a blue kit. No white kit this year. It is a better fit. You don't have to go four sizes up like
that. No, it's not four sizes. Okay. I've been told by Amanda, go two sizes or something.
Yeah, I think one will do in this kit.
One, is that all right? Yeah.
I like it. It's plain and simple. I really like it. And, you know, I think the new sponsors on there looks really good as well.
It's weird not seeing Rabbit though, isn't it? It's so strange.
Yeah, I agree with Jack. I really like it. It's quite plain. It's what you want. You want a nice red kit. Yeah. And as far as sponsors go, you can get some really horrible, nasty sponsors on a shirt that completely ruin the kit. Just looks like Focus.
Looks all right, yeah. I did think, is it Focus DIY at first? The old DIY chain that's gone out of business about 10 years ago.
We've got MFI on the back.
MFI or something like that.
I think it's Bunnings. David Communications or something?
Yeah, it's a communication firm. They're headquartered in Shoreham. If you go along the 6th Shoreham Road, you'll see the lower Shoreham Road. It's just near Dunelm over there. It was interesting to see. With with the obviously I said to you, Spencer, like, and Jack, I've said, I just wish the away shirt had been maybe a different colour than blue. That's all I would like. I would like to have maybe seen a little bit of a different design, maybe something a bit different. And I really like the blue stripe one. Do you remember we had a few years ago?
The Adidas one.
I really liked having a couple of shades of blue on it, which was nice.
I have to say, the Adidas is my all-time favourite.
Yeah, I love the Adidas ones.
I don't know why they went for blue. It's that's a club decision.
Mm-hmm. Stu didn't want white because he didn't want to wash it all the time. We're getting filthy.
I'm guessing you have to start looking at other teams' colours as well, and where you're not going to get a clash. I don't know if there's anyone, for example, that wears, you know, if you went for a white, there's red and, well, red and white stripes, and then we haven't got screwed, a kit.
So it's red, white, and blue, is it really?
Yeah, but they can wear the away kit. They can have a bright orange kit. So
why can't we have a bright orange kit? Spencer, we might have
to have number 40 in Cruyff put on the back.
We might have to work out a Larry kit to or shirt to bring out later in the season, eh? Gary Elphick's returned to the club as a coach. Obviously, myself and Spencer weren't around as fans at the time. Jacko, were you?
No, neither was I. I heard good things about him.
Yeah, and from what I've seen, he's brought his experience. He did such a good job at Hastings. Obviously, he left at the with Meany at the end of last season, which was surprising because, you know, it took them, cemented their place on the Isthmian Prem.
At the end of the day, somebody with vast experience, knows the club really well, who could probably very easily go off and get a first-team coach-manager position somewhere else.
Yeah.
And has made the choice to come and join us here. So
it's not a testament to work, what's been done here, and that people want to come here.
Yeah. I was wondering if Meany might turn up, but apparently he's assistant manager at Horsham, I think, now. I think he's Horsham manager now, assistant manager. So, you know, it's a good team there, a good lot. And, you know, it's good to have him on the coaching staff because I think we're going to need it this season because I think Hinch has realised, you know, what the challenge is this season. We did so well in the first season. And as you see on a lot of these National League groups, we don't want to get second season syndrome, as they say. And I don't think we will.
I hope we don't get it. The problem is, I think a lot of teams know what we're about now, apart from the people who just come up. But, you know, it's still possible to do it.
There's a lot of strength coming into this division next year. The likes of Torquay, Yeovil coming down, Western coming up, very well backed.
Aveley,
yeah, very well backed team again. It's tricky.
I look forward to going to Aveley. Because I like that they've regenerated their stadium and they've got a nice big stand, haven't they?
You and Papa in Lakeside?
Yeah, we go Lakeside. We go Stone Island shop up there or something. Get the badge in. But I do. I would like to see Aveley's ground because they put a lot of money into it. And I'm sure like people like Barry going up there, I'm sure creative juices will be flowing to see what a club's done of that level.
Yeah, I've not been to the new ground. I went there many, many years ago and it was literally just a little village club knocking around. I didn't want to say it was the Essex Senior League. So, be interesting.
And talking about stadiums, we're now known as, this mouthful, isn't it? The Sussex Transport Community Stadium. So it's gone from the Crucial Environmental, who left as a sponsor, to the Sussex Transport Community Stadium. But it's great to see another local firm getting behind the club.
Yeah, it's great to see it. I still call it Woodside, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I think most people do. But, you know, it's especially on the match days, it's great publicity for the sponsors, especially when they keep announcing it.
So good to see investment keep coming in. More the better.
Yeah. And we could go through our signings. We've seen quite a lot of players join the club this season. I can count about 7 as we record, which hopefully we'll get him to pronounce this and tell us properly. But Juan Luque. Is that what we're going to say?
Yeah, we'll just go to the Spanish one.
Spanish guy.
I don't know how to pronounce his name, but, you know, I think I'm excited to see him on the pitch again. My other half is as well, but I think she's for different reasons.
Didn't she say the other day she thinks he's the best looking player of the club now?
No,
so
I think it's something
AP, you've got to watch out.
Something to do with the star tattoos, I think. But, you know, I think, but if you read what people say about him, he's very highly thought of. I think he left Maidstone?
Yeah.
And they really disappointed he's gone there.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he can come back and stay injury free and then prove.
Well, he's had a really good record in the National South for Maidstone. I think he was voted player of the year. Yeah. You know, until injuries got in the way. So, you know, it's an exciting signing.
Well, talking about perfect timing, joining us now.
I was going to try and pronounce your name, but just before you came on microphone, you did say, what should we call you this season?
Just Luque.
So Luque, everyone that's listening, Luque is what we're going to call him. No trying to pronounce, but for the listeners, how do you pronounce your first name?
Joan.
Joan. So it's Joan Luque. There we go. But welcome to Worthing, or should we say, bienvenido a Worthing, Ial podcast Rebel Yell. See?
Yeah.
I try to make an effort and I just get poo-pooed. All right.
Yeah.
All right, mate, welcome to Rebel Yell podcast. So, Luque, you joined Worthing from Maidstone, and we were just talking online. A lot of Maidstone fans were very disappointed that you didn't re-sign with them. So what drew you to Worthing, you know, firstly?
Well, obviously, when I spoke to Hinch, I think the main thing is I did a FaceTime with Hinch and Nathan when I was in Spain, because obviously on my holidays I always go back to see my family. And then the way they were speaking to me about my injury and like the plan through it, like I spoke to many teams and they were all like, oh, prove your fitness before we give you a contract, or are you going to be fit for like the first game of the season? I was like, I can't rush it. It's just, I want to be fit for the first game. For the first game of preseason, I want to be fit, but I don't know. Like, it will take as long as it takes. But I'll be fine at some point. And then when I spoke to them, they were completely different to anyone else. Like, they obviously explained their project, the way they want to play, but they said, like, we don't want to rush it with you. Like, we know what you have. We got a couple of players in your position as well. Like, if it takes 1 month, if it takes 3 months, 3 months. But we want you back at some point and we know you're going to make an impact. And I was like, this is exactly what I need. Like, no rush, understanding of how big this injury is and that you have to be patient and not rush things. And that was the turning point really for me. Like, that was like, I spoke to my mum and, well, to my family and said, I spoke to them like this. They said this, and it's exactly what I want to hear from the new manager.
Yeah, I find that approach from other clubs quite strange because, you know, it's a long season. There's plenty of games. I don't see why there'd be the risk of rushing you. And, you know, it's a long season, you know, as you see, you know, we've got a good squad here and we've got the players. And
the season isn't won in the first game, is it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like
we've got so many games. I think we need more players towards the end of the season when it's the business end.
Yeah.
So if you fit then, great for us.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like you said, like winning the first game doesn't mean you're winning the league, or losing it don't mean you're gonna get relegated. Like, it's just one game, like 3 points. Yeah, obviously when you wanna win things, every point counts, like from the first one. And any little draw you could get 3 points are important, but it's not going to change anything. So obviously to have that calm in myself, as in like, I'm going to come in and if I need to be just doing warm ups for the minute, it'd be fine, which I did for like probably the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like it was getting good and then I could do more. And
it kind of reminds me, guys, of Davide Rodari, who was here last season on loan, and he came a couple of years ago, because I remember when he was on the podcast, he was saying he was suffering from an injury, and Hinch and the club understood his injury. So it seems that it's not the first time that they kind of are giving you an opportunity and other players that are like that to, you know, manage. And Davide played quite a bit for us, and he was quite an important key player at times. So I think it's refreshing to hear that you've heard, as you say, so many clubs are saying no, but Worthing have said, no, come on, you know, we see your potential. And it must be great for you as a footballer, because having an injury that's set you back for so long, you must be worried in theory, am I going to get back to playing like a level I want to play?
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, it was just frustrating because it was like, someone will come for me. And I was like, oh, another team come, like, oh, proof your fitness, come in pre-season. I'm like, I'm 31 years old. I'm not from England. I'm not wasting my time, like, proving my fitness. Like, if you want me, you want me. If not, yeah. I just go home. Literally.
That's like
if I was 22, okay, but I've showed what I'm about when I'm fit, and obviously I'm 31. I'm not here to waste my time. Like, yeah. I'll just go back and enjoy my family, which I haven't been enjoying for like the last 9 years because I've been away just chasing my dream. But at some point, obviously, I'll have to come back. But like, it was just like frustrating, and it's like you already got that stress of I want to be back, and then hearing that from someone that shows you some kind of appreciation, but at the same time, it's not taking the, but you can sort of like take it that way. Mm. And it just gave me like fuel to
to obviously when I spoke to Hinge and Nathan, it was like, okay, I'm just gonna be back as soon as possible. Obviously, not rushing, but obviously I've been 15 months, I think, but I've always wanted the quicker I could, but it's just how it is. But I was like, this is gave me just fuel to prove everyone wrong. It's not only Mason I need to prove wrong, or like whoever made that decision, but the rest that said, oh, prove your thing. Don't worry, I'll prove you.
and hopefully now you are here as well, and you're seeing, you know, how the management work, how the players all work together, and on and off the pitch, you know, we're a real sort of solid sort of united club.
Yeah, no, definitely. It reminds me...
Meeting your expectations.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit to like... It's obviously not as a big club as like Mason. Mason is probably like fan base is like bigger, but it's more like a little family all together where fans, I could see that, like, obviously we haven't played an elite game yet, but you can see that it's like a little smaller club than others in the league, but everyone's together. Everyone has the same sort of like mentality. Everyone wants to push the same way. And that is just something that you need to make good things happen, as in like winning leagues or like getting promotions. And obviously the way Hinge wants to play, just it was some like add on to obviously that patience that he showed towards management.
And don't forget that when it's 2,000 people, it's amazing.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how it is. No, obviously, I'm speaking.
You'll find out.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I come from a club where. Well, not the last year because I didn't play, but the year before it was massive. Like we had a lot of like fan base, everyone was buzzing because we were up. But I imagine it was the same sort of thing last year. So I'm really expecting to like first game of the season. How is it going to be? Because in pre-season you obviously don't meet like the real fans. I say like the real atmosphere.
Yeah. So you know the experience I've had of Mason. So we might have say half the crowd, but I guarantee you we'll make twice the noise. We've got the drum going, we've got the banging going.
Yeah, no, I like the noise. Obviously, when you play, it's like when you hear the noise, it's like, well, I get excited. Like,
but it just
I want to do things.
You on as a player, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Like I want to do things for them people, like just making noise because I know, like, if I don't know, if I score, they'll go crazy and I'll go crazy with them. And then it's like building, you know?
Well, I did like your tweet when you said like the comeback's back or something. Was it this past weekend? Was it after the Horsham game, I think? Or was it
it was after your first game.
Oh, was that the first game?
467 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. I like that. That's
how long it took me. Well, that's from when I got injured at foot.
I hate looking back, but I saw you in rehab at St. George's. How was that?
It was good. It was brilliant. I've had it. I went 3 weeks. So I went for 1 week, then a month in between, a week before my holidays. And then when Jake went this pre-season, I was like, I think I got 1 week left. I'll just make it and then do my testing, see how it is. And then if they give like green light to play, then they obviously know not better than here, but they have more facilities to like test you proper and see where you're exactly at. And they were like, yeah, you're fine to play. Like, you probably need a bit more muscle, but with the pain I've got sometimes, it's hard to build muscle. So they were like, just play.
Yeah. So what are your expectations this season? You obviously come as a new sign. You've seen what Worthing can do. First season in National League South, finishing fourth in the playoff zones, reaching that semi-final after the eliminator. Obviously, it just wasn't our day on the Oxford game. Like, from what you've seen from the outside of the club, what are your expectations this season?
Well, the expectations is like, What I spoke with Hinge and Nathan, like, they want to try to get promotion. If it's first, if it's through promotion, but we want to get up. And that's really what I want. Like, I said to them, well, let's try to get another medal over my neck. Like, I would like, obviously, I won a league and it feels amazing.
You're making friends with Stu already. He's annoyed because he's not involved in the podcast.
You're going to come in?
No, do you want to come a bit?
Stu, yeah, no. So
Stu won't talk to me if I don't get him on the podcast.
Yeah, no. Sorry, hopefully, hopefully, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I know Pinch said last we season he wants to improve on last season. Yeah, start, so you know, even that's position in the league, you know.
Definitely.
So it's good to have you back. Before we wrap up this interview, it's been great talking to you, Luca, and you know, look forward to sort of spending much more time with you and the players throughout the season. Every new player we ask on the podcast, we always ask, tell us something interesting about yourself. And yeah. I found one thing that's interesting is that you started at Barcelona, which I think is an amazing achievement to get into the academy there and everything. But from yourself, it doesn't have to be football related. There's something interesting, whether it be with your family, your personal life, something like that. That and keep it clean.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, yeah.
If you've met somebody famous.
Yeah, or something like that. Or something that's interesting. Oh, wow.
I don't know. I would say...
put you on the spot.
Yeah, I would say... Well, I would just... tell us a little story. I was living in Ibiza for 2 years, and there's this like sort of like party where it's like a pool party in a club, but it's like water party, and it's only for people resident in Ibiza.
So none of these horrible tourists that come over in the island.
Yeah, no English messing about. So basically, they were like doing this like water party, free drinks and free food for everyone inside, and I was just too drunk and just like sliding across the floor, like making like little tunnels. No. This was time ago. And then all of a sudden they stopped the music and they said, the one with the yellow floater. And I had a yellow floater wrapped up. I'm like, oh, I'm getting kicked out of here. And they were like, I love you. We love you. And they made me go up. I met one of like Spanish singers, like most famous.
What was that?
It's called Chenoa, but it was just a funny story. Like one friend, like a couple of friends from Barcelona came that day and they were so like just hiding behind a little thing. And I was like, that day was like the day to remember about my. But I don't know if it counts. I hope it counts.
No, that's cool.
It counts. I met a famous people. Yeah. I thought I was going to get kicked out.
Well, we know if it's raining one day and the match has been called off, we can get your yellow floater
across the pitch. Running off.
Yeah. And Luca, just before we go, whereabouts are you from in Spain?
Barcelona.
So yeah, is Barcelona your team?
This could be the weird thing. I'm a Madrid fan.
Oh, really?
So this could be the interesting thing, really.
Oh, and Real Madrid, not
Atlantic. Yes, Real Madrid, yeah. Not the shitty one.
And there we go. On that note, Luca, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Good luck for the season ahead.
Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Right, obviously speaking to Luca there, great, great, great guy. Looking forward to seeing what he can bring. And he seems very positive about the club, doesn't he, guys? It's very... very, very good to hear that positivity and what's drawn him to the club. Fantastic.
Yeah, great to hear. You know, he's obviously been sold a really positive vision of the club, which is fantastic to hear. And he's got belief and believes in what we're doing and the journey we're on.
And I think he's trying to pay back the belief, Hinch and Nath Effingham. I think by that approach, to take the pressure off him by coming back too soon. And hopefully, you know, I think he will be an absolute massive addition to the squad.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we said to him, Maidstone raved about him, didn't they? And like, they were gutted that he's gone. But now
he's come through the Barcelona system.
He's a Madridista. That must have been very hard to be singing Messi and Club and all that, like all the Barcelona anthems and stuff. He's sitting there like that. But no, it's really good to have him. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring to the squad because, you know, from everything I've read, it seems like we've got an exciting signing. So let's hope his fitness improves. Let's see. Let's hope he doesn't stretch it. And it's great to hear he's having a slow recovery.
I'll get him following Real Oviedo by the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't mention that there, actually. That'll be in the bar after one time. Going back to the signings, guys, Nicky Wheeler from Dorking. I know, Jacko, you've been with your son quite a lot to Dorking over the years, and you'll find a bunch of amateurs as well, aren't you?
I love a bunch of amateurs. And I see, there's not a way to promote the club. I think, and, you know, Nicky Wheeler, I'm really excited about it. I know he's getting it a bit on, but I think
but we need that for the youth coming through, don't we? Yeah.
And I think, especially now Buddy has left, you need a bit more experienced player who can be stay calm on the, you know, when you need it. And you know, he can still swing a ball in from the left-hand side, I think.
Yeah, the experience part of that answer is really relevant, actually, because last season when the games when Kane weren't available, it was really noticeable how we were lacking that experience and leadership. Mm.
That's true. I look forward to seeing him. When I've seen him on a bunch of amateurs, I mean, I haven't seen Dorking for a couple of years play, but in the last time I saw him was during COVID. Like, it was one of those ones just before it all got called off again, the second season of COVID. But another one that you hear a lot of positive things around. I guess he probably couldn't commit to National League full-time football, hence it suited us quite nicely.
I think they come to more daytime training as well, haven't they, Dorking? So, yeah. You know, depending on your job, if you can do it or not, you know. But, you know, their loss is our gain.
Yeah, exactly. One person that's returned to the club again. We have quite a few returns this year. It's Rocco Rees. He's signed that empty position left by Harrison Mayle, who actually went to Dorking, went the other way. Which makes you wonder, I wonder if the Nicky Wheeler thing was anything to do with that, like Hinch and Markle chatting about it. But
well, we'd seen Markle a couple of games here, hadn't we, before the end of the season. So things may have already been in motion.
Yeah, but Rocco, good to see the lad back. So it'd be interesting to see how he's improved from going to Brentford as a professional footballer. He's Brentford B. Was he out on loan anywhere? I can't remember. Was he on loan anywhere during his time at Brentford?
I don't think he was. He was just at Brentford.
Yeah. But obviously, he's a good friend of Jasper anyway. So, like, you know, obviously, they've got that club. That's one of the reasons why he came in the first place, I understand. So it's good to see Permanent Keeper back. It'd be interesting to see if we sign a backup, because we've had a couple of trialists still, haven't we, after signing Rocco. So it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, and that still surprises me. Me being Dutch, even the lower league teams back home, they've always got a second goalie on the bench. And not to have a second goalie, I find it still weird. Because
generally at this level, teams don't have a
waste of a substitute, isn't it? That's what they do, yeah.
The famous one is for Dorking, where Alfie Rutherford went in goal.
Yes.
You take your striker off to put him in goal. You know, it's just...
I mean, we've got Will Tillman, obviously. He was the hero at the Amex.
As far as I'm aware, Ollie's our backup kickler.
Is he?
But again, that takes your goal options away. Yeah, if that's the case.
That does.
Rocco Rees here as a permanent signing. We've got him on contract, haven't we? I think we've actually signed. He's not on loan from anywhere. I think he was released by Brentford, wasn't he?
He was released, I think.
Yeah. Another person that's come, Greg Lure. Forward. He's come from Eastbourne, who also gone full-time after their takeover. So I think that was something to do with it as well, the commitment of jobs and, you know, whether you can commit to it. He's had a bit of a career. He's played professional football with Hull, Port Vale, Scunthorpe, Stevenage, but he's also had a non-league with Eastbourne, Woking and Maidstone. And it's one of those that the away boys would always say it'd be great if we signed him, and we finally got him. So it's something you're excited to see with Greg.
If I'm really honest, I don't know a lot about him. Yeah. That's hands up. I've seen some contradicting things. People saying, I don't want to sign him. And then some people say, we want to sign him. Look, in the end of the day, if he does a job for the club, he scores goals, catches winning goals or whatever he does, and we should be happy.
Yeah. And Hinch knows a player right and on off the pitch. He's only going to go for players who fit in.
I keep saying in Hinch we trust, but, you know, he's the manager, he makes the decisions.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it'd be interesting to see, because it's obviously, as you say, it talks about name, see how he fits into the club. And, you know, it's great to have these players that, you know...
Experience again.
Experience leading the youngsters. He scored against Horsham on Saturday's first goal of the season. So it'd be interesting to see where he comes out. Michael Klass, midfielder. He was at last at Aldershot, I think. He's been around non-league and he's had a bit of professional with QPR and Southend, which
again,
is great to see.
Again, it's more experience and, relevant at this level.
And it's showing the sort of talent we're attracting to the club.
The few bits I've seen of him, I like him.
Yeah.
He had one game I thought he was a bit giving the ball away, but, you know, it's pre-season. But, you know, I think he looked good. He's got this...
He stood out well against Hashtag in that form.
Joe Felix, defender. He's last at Dulwich, who got relegated. I mean, he knows a good beer then if he's been at Dulwich, doesn't he?
This is where I'm already going to go a bit fanboy. I've been so impressed by this lad.
He is amazing. He reminds me a bit of Mo Darbre, who we had on loan last year. The only thing, the difference is, I thought Darbre was a yellow card walking, while Felix isn't.
Felix, I literally can't tell you at any point in the game what position he's playing or where he's playing the system.
Because he's literally here, there, and everywhere. When we walked in tonight, didn't he whack a top corner goal in when we walked in, literally just for the podcast? Did. So, you know, if he can do that on the pitch, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
But I think he's one of these people who keeps running.
Pocket rocket.
Yeah, to the final whistle and he doesn't stop.
That's what we need.
And he's another player where his previous club, Dulwich, the fans have been absolutely gutted to see him go.
He was their player of the year last year. He was their player of the year in the season they got relegated. He was player of the year there. They said he was hands above everyone else. So, you know, we'll wait and see. It'll be good to see, but from what he's seen so far, you're all impressed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He would be one of the people I would have on my back.
I'll be seeing Jacko, get him on the shirt.
And someone I'm looking forward to seeing... is Jake Robinson, because he's like a new signing.
He is like a new signing.
Yeah, because we saw him play and he scored in that first ever game. He's come back and he's not done, you know, he's not been able to do anything for the club until now. So Is he what we need up front to help Ollie score the goals and get us up the league?
I think he is.
Do you think he was what we're lacking between second and third and fourth place last season?
I think he was the difference in the draw and the win last season. The games we drew, I think he might have made a difference. And there's nothing taken away from Ollie or anybody else, but I think he's
that one backup. Of
those, yeah, I think he's a striker. He sees the goal he scores.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. And again, you can't argue with his record and the experience, what he's done, and it's his commitment as well. He could easily have given up if he wanted to, but he's shown he wants to carry on.
He was being a tease, wasn't he, at the beginning, putting Instagram videos on of was he training at Seaford or something like that? But he was just doing and everyone's like, "Oh no, God, he's not time for Seaford."
He also put something on Twitter, and he said, "I've got a new job."
Yeah,
I questioned him. So what? Are you giving up football? And he came back, no. So good.
No, and it's good because we saw him around lots last season as well.
And I think that shows what club worthing is. Even the injured players are here all the home games.
Yeah.
And that shows how together they are.
And one of the last players that returned at the moment, I'm sure they'll be trialists. What's his name? Ricky Tequila. Oh, no, that's a song, isn't it? Tequila! Aguirre is back from Swindon. So, another player I'm interested to see, because when he left, he was one of the best players in the scene. He went to Swindon, obviously the year before we got promoted into this league. And I think, to be honest, it's going to be interesting to see how being a professional footballer and the professional setup of Swindon is going to be. He's played with some great internationals in Welsh internationals like Johnny Williams, players that have been up and down the football league. So it'd be interesting to see what influence that's had on him.
I've seen some bits and I thought, I can see the improvement. But I think, like I said, we're going back, it's pre-season. You know, it's when the league starts, then it will become, what has he done? And what difference can he make? But it was quite funny, the day it was announced, he came in, and I had to look twice, and I thought, that's Ricky. Why has he got his football boots?
Yeah.
And then my son rang, and he said, Ricky's in. He went into the changing room. So he might be playing then. And then half an hour later, it was announced that Ricky was back on loan for a year. And I think it's a good thing. He was on loan for a year, not the 2 month or 3 month thing. But at risk, if he's doing well, that he gets, pulled back again.
I think he's a player that needs a bit of a guiding hand and a bit of pushing in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I think Hinch is
the one to do that
for him and push him forwards again.
Yeah.
So, you don't know exactly what's gone on at Swindon, but it seems like his career's stalled a bit.
I thought he signed an extension to his contract.
Yeah, you were saying that, didn't you? Yeah.
I've seen it somewhere. I could be wrong, but
they maybe want him to go back a step, like go with Hinch that brought so much out of him in the past and try and get him up the Football League. And, because they could have released him if they wanted rid of him,
We know the track record of Hinch with young players.
Yeah.
There's plenty we can, who were here and played professional. And I think there's one or two in our squad who won't be here long, unfortunately.
Yeah, and this will be the weeding out of the players this season. I think some have obviously gone. We'll talk about departures in a bit, but quite happy with the squad. I think if there's any more signings, do you think we need any more? Other than that, we've got seven sort of new signings. Do you think we need one more? I'd say a backup keeper would be good because
every pre-season I've been started saying the same thing. We need another defender.
Another defender.
Well, every signing we seem to get is some kind of striker / winger / attacking midfielder, and you just feel like we need more cover at the back.
I think there was somebody on trial and he wore number 24, I think.
Yes.
I quite like
Chevron.
It.
Oh, Chevron McLean.
Yeah, I quite like him, what I've seen of him. I don't know what's happening with, but then,
defender. See him tonight?
A defender would be nice.
Who was that number 4 we said that was on the team sheet here, but it was a trialist online, so I tried to look at it before doing a bit of prep for the podcast. I can't remember. It was a number 4. He got cautioned and had to be told down to calm down by Aaron.
I think it's a Spanish-sounding player, wasn't it? Because he was talking Spanish to Luque.
Okay.
But then again, we could come draw to wrong conclusions.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Guys, we've got to talk about the departures. Obviously, we've seen, I don't know if it was a shock or not, but seeing Danny Barkley was a shock to me. I thought he's almost become part of the furniture here, hasn't he, at Woodside?
But
I think he was a good player to have, but maybe was he a first-team starting? Yeah, was it because he was maybe a bench player?
Yeah, well, his opportunities were coming few and far between last season, especially as the season went on. And then with, new signings coming in as well. It sounds like Hinch had a very honest discussion with him to let him know that his game time would be less this season.
Yeah.
And he seems like he's made his own decision to go elsewhere. Turns out to be Horsham, in order to get more first-team football and play more minutes. And good luck to him, to be fair. The guy's given brilliant service.
A good team to join Horsham as well. I think they're going to be well up there in the Isthmian this season.
Yeah, I think he suffered from injuries last season, and which didn't help. And I think he injured himself the year we won the title in the last couple of weeks, didn't he? And hamstring injury. And to me, it looked like he never really recovered during the season from it. But, you know, good luck to him. And I think, you know, the door is always open.
You never know. You never know. I was disappointed to see Ibi go, because I thought Ibi, but we've got more strikers we signed that might be a bit of high quality. But I thought Ibi was a great player to come from the bench. He was almost like that Solskjaer type player. He's Man United, Joe, impact player from the bench.
I liked Ibi. I thought he was a great player. But I think he lacked a few goals. And he scores four against a team that is 5-6 leagues lower.
So I think Stu's trying out his DIY over there.
But yeah, that's a shame. Maybe Garth, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He scored some great goals for us. You know, he was a good player. And I think the club meant to him. Like, you looked at his Twitter profile and he put almost a heartfelt departure. He's only been here for a season or just under a season. But obviously the club meant a lot to him. Maybe he was not guaranteed the game time he wanted, a sort of Danny Barker type situation.
Yeah. I can understand it. If you know, I like to think all the players in the squad want to play, and you can only start 11, and you can only have so many people on the bench, and some people will be disappointed. And I don't know how old he is, but does he want to play every week?
Yeah. It's squads this season. It's squad size and squad strength. So I think, you know, maybe last season will let us down towards the end, especially as we're getting injuries and things. It was the squad strength and who were the players that were coming in, and I think Hinch is just looking for that extra strength in depth for when he needs to rotate and players coming in for injury suspensions, etc. You know, he's got full faith in those players that come in are as good as the ones going out.
Yeah, 100%. James Beresford's been professional footballer, is it in Thailand?
I think, fair play
to the guy. And we should say, I mentioned another professional footballer now, Dejan Golding's gone to be a professional footballer up in Scotland in League One as well. League One, which is the third tier of Scottish football. And, you know, fair play to these players, they're getting the opportunities. I mean, you can see, you know, James Beresford, I think it was one of those guys that we never fully saw his potential at the club.
I like James, and when he had a good game, he was good.
But it wasn't consistent enough.
You know, good luck to him. You know, he plays in Thailand. I follow on Instagram, and he does nice things there. Yeah. So good luck to him. You know,
it's funny because it looks like the way they've sort of done all the presentation. It's like almost they've signed Messi or something. You know, like with the club president and everything like that. When he's holding the shirt, but it's great.
I can't imagine you get that many overseas players in the Thai league.
No, that's true. Dan Bowery, could he have been the answer to your defending needs?
So Dan Bowery. You know, speaking from a fan perspective, because we're talking as a fan podcast, he was real Marmite amongst the support. Mm-hmm. I must say I was one of his fans, but
I liked him.
It was a real 50-50 split.
You're the Marmite.
I thought if he had a certain player against, if he played next to Aaron, I thought he was good. But if Aaron wasn't there, I thought he was lost at times. Mm. And for somebody with his experience, I thought there were better players. But, you know, good luck to him. I think he's gone to St Albans.
Yeah. It's a good move.
Good club, St Albans. So, yeah.
That's good for him. That's not where he came from before, was it? No, it was. Was it somewhere?
No, I don't know. Kings Lynn, I want to say.
Kings Lynn, that was it. And last but not least, before we talk about departures, Darren Budd, obviously a club legend. You know, it's sad to see him go. You know, he was obviously part of the training, but he said to me and personally, he felt he had one more season in him. I did joke with him, let me guess, has Coxie been in touch? He goes, I'd lie if I said no.
I think it's a bit of a shame Buddy left, because Buddy's one of the reasons we started following Worthing, me and my son. Jack was only very young and we were standing on the other side and he was warming up and he started talking to my son, you know, and he was only little. And I think that's nice, the interaction, and that's how we started following Worthing. So yeah, but good luck to him, you know. I always liked Buddy.
Yeah, good luck. I reckon we'll see him again in the future.
Yeah, he'll be here. Absolutely loved the guy to bits. And yeah, I don't think he's Worthing days are finished.
No, I think we'll see him back in the future.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Right, so August games, guys. It's Tunbridge at home starting the season off, Torquay away, Slough away, Averley at home, Dover away and Weymouth at home for the whole of August. So six games. Should we take our predictions now? I'm saying four wins, one draw, one loss. I'm not saying to who.
I'm going to go three wins, two draws, one loss.
There we go. What are we looking at? Win, loss, win.
No, it's Torquay wasn't the loss. I was thinking
win, loss, win.
Tunbridge, what? All right, win, Tunbridge, what? Draw. I think Tunbridge, and I don't want to start off on Nancy, I think we'll lose that game. I don't know why, I just think we'll lose, but I think we'll come back against Torquay and smash them out of the park and shut them up.
I think we'll be the other way around.
Oh, you think we'll beat Tunbridge and then lose to Torquay?
Lose Torquay, win against Slough.
I reckon that's my 1-1. So it's a bit of a bugger of a place to go.
Win against Avely.
Win against Dover.
Draw against... I'm not even going to say the name.
Oh, don't be a Pete.
Maybe a loss for Weymouth.
But you reckon a loss for Weymouth? You reckon? Yeah. Hello.
I think they're going to be up for us this year after last year.
Yeah, so I think some important games will be interesting to see our season. We spoke to Adam. That seems very positive. It's going to be an interesting season, guy. A long season. It's all starting again. Follow the action live with Pete, if he turns up, because he's not here tonight again, at Rebel Yell WFCSA. Yeah.
Pete Bell commentator.
Pete Bell commentator on rebelyell.live. We've got a new website. It's all been redesigned over the summer, so it looks a bit posh now. But I don't know now, aren't we?
We've got MySpace.
But MySpace and Bebo. No, it's Twitter's now X, or whatever it's called now. X.
And Fred?
What's Fred?
Threads.
Oh, that's Instagram Threads. No, yeah. We're not on there. But we will be on rebelyell.live on our socials. If you want to join the WFCSA, the membership is £8. A new badge will be here soon, and we'll be giving you a chance to purchase that. But if you need anything from us, please contact us. Listen again, and I guess we could say, up the Rebels.
Up the Rebels.
Up the Rebels.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.